We're entering the Economic Support Division portion of our agenda, and I am going to ask the committee's indulgence. I would like to take item number 13 out of sequence because our AFSCME representatives here have been subpoenaed and need to give testimony this morning in Dane County. So they are on a time schedule. This is an informational item, so it should not it should not take long. So we'll be taking item number 13.
Okay. From the Interim Director, Department of Health and Human Services, and the Interim Director, Department of Human Resources, submitting an informational report regarding the transition of the Department of Health Services employees and the Department of Children and Family Services employees to the state. This item is also going to the Committee on Personnel, informational only, unless otherwise directed by the committee.
Good morning. I'm Candace Richards, Interim Director for the Division of Human Resources. This report is a joint report that is meant to be for information only. It's a very general report regarding the status of the transfer of the DHS positions to the state, the income maintenance staff, as well as DCF, the child care staff, to the state. And it was requested at the request of the at the chair just to kind of give you some general information about what has occurred thus far. The report, you know, basically indicates that we've been working. We've had a small internal group that's working with Corporation Counsel as well as Human Resources, Audit, and the Comptroller to really take a look at the impact of these changes that are going to be on current Milwaukee County employees who will be transferred to the state. As you can see, both of the divisions are impacting this a little bit differently. DHS has a competitive process by which individuals are interviewing for their positions, and DCF has created positions for the total number of employees that are currently operating in that division. And also the dates for transition are different. DHS is looking at 12/31, which would be effective 1/1/2012, and there also was a different date for DCF, which was in October, that all of those individuals would be transitioned. The majority of the issues we have attempted to identify, and again, we are working with Corporation Counsel to receive some opinions on issues regarding unemployment, pension benefits, and hopefully, you know, we will receive some definite, well, at least their opinion on how the county should handle that. And many of those issues in detail will be discussed with personnel on Friday. Candace, would you like to? That basically summarizes where we are at this point. We've had a couple of meetings with the state on the human resources side, and as Ms. Lide indicated, there are still a lot of issues that we need to be sure that Milwaukee County and the state are on the same page before any information is rolled out to employees.
We've also had one meeting on the lease at the Cox Building. The state has indicated that they are very much interested in staying at Cox through 212. They've not made a firm commitment beyond that. So we are in the process of you know, attempting to work that out. They've also indicated that they're going to be expanding some positions there, and this would have been in relationship to the budget, which does look at some expansion. And also there are a number of changes in this area statewide. They're going to be moving to establishing 10 consortia kind of regionally throughout the state, of which Milwaukee County will be one of those consortia. We will be one in ourselves. There are other communities which are coming together. So you might see, for instance, a Waukesha, a Racine, and Kenosha. They might be developing one consortia. But Milwaukee County, given its size, will be kind of its own entity. So at this point, it is our intent that we would be able to come back in December with a lease for 2012 because they have indicated that they wish to stay. I think we're just, you know, kind of working out some of the details, and in the next couple of months we'll be doing that. I do think, as Ms. Richard said, you know, we'll need to, again, get clarification on some of the more specific details on how it impacts employee benefits.
Thank you. Are there any comments or questions by committee members? I do believe that all of the committee members did receive the receive a memo from Chairman Holloway in regards to this item. I do have one card from Dave Eisner, and Mr. Eisner is joined this morning by Thora Williams, Burley Hilson, and Vanessa Brown. And looks like Patty Young.
Thank
all
you.
Right.
Good morning, Chairwoman West and supervisors. Thank you for consideration and moving this item up. I am subpoenaed the court in Dane County in regards to our temporary restraining order against the Department of Children and Families regarding their attempt to, you know, jump the gun on, you know, basically changing the status of county employees to state employees as of October 1st and not per our memorandum of understanding with the state January 1st of 2012. You know, I don't know where to start here, actually, but I will reference the communication that was put out for item 13 by Ms. Lyday and the Interim Director of Human Resources, Candace Richards. Our Public Policy Director on September 8th had sent a letter to Chairwoman West and the County Board, actually the County Executive and others, in reference to, you know, what's occurring with the state takeover, the permanent takeover of these former Milwaukee County programs, income maintenance and child care. You know, early in June, I was up in Madison for a week, and that was when Joint Finance was deliberating on the budget, and was very disappointed and, you know, quite upset by the fact that Chairman Holloway had his lobbyists up there lobbying the state legislature for the state to keep the programs and make county employees state employees. And ultimately, that's exactly what they did. You know, we've already lost programs in Milwaukee County, such as child welfare, and, you know, the community advocates I talk to feel that the program is better run locally and closer to, more responsive by the counties. And the other 71 counties in the state manage their own income maintenance programs. So with that said, the arrangement that District Council 48 entered into with the state back in 2009 was set up so that the county at one point could get the programs back. And this was to occur after the settlement of the lawsuit that was initiated against Milwaukee County and the state. And, in fact, that lawsuit was ultimately dismissed on September 8th, as I understand it, by the litigants. So prior to the budget being passed, there was the ability for Milwaukee County within 6 months of the settlement of that lawsuit to meet with DHS and to have discussion about who would run the program in the future. And our thought was, based upon what occurred back in 2009, that the county would embrace getting those programs back and that, you know, how they would be administered. Well, you know, that also was part of the change in the state budget. So, you know, inevitably we're here and the state is taking over these programs. What concerns me about the letter that was put out by the Department and Human Resources is there's no discussion of layoff recall rights that these county employees in both DHS and DCF maintain. They are county employees. They do have layoff recall rights. Now, you know, what the state offered these employees was an opportunity to work for the state. That's not either their contractual rights, and again, I want to reference the document that was put out by, this would be the county repair bill question and answer document dated 7/29, and it references what happens to the former collective bargaining agreement for AFSCME DC 48 as of the effective date of the budget repair bill. It says, with the exception of dues deductions and employee contributions to the Milwaukee County Employment Retirement System, ERS, all other provisions of the bargain agreement, as well as provisions of collateral agreements and arbitration decisions, will remain in place until changes can be approved by the county board and county executive. Therefore, the current bargaining agreement remains in effect until further notice or until changes are approved by the county board. And then it goes on to say certain changes were adopted by county ordinance in March and June and additional ones in July. There have been no changes to the former 2.37 of our memorandum of understanding that cites a process for layoff recall. The civil service rules of Milwaukee County similarly cite the layoff recall process. A number of the employees chose not to interview for the state because they are very seasoned, senior, loyal county employees and have those layoff recall rights and want to, you know, entertain their options to come back to Milwaukee County and finish out their career. That has not been discussed. That has not been offered to them. Starting July 1st when the budget passed, I'm aware of, and in fact, this is what precipitated me sending some email communications with our, which Patty Young sent in her letter on September 8th, copies of, to Candace Richards, interim HR. When they were calling not only the county HR here, but the Human Resources Bureau at DHHS, and quite frankly, talking to some of the county board supervisors, they were getting little information, erroneous information, and definitely inconsistent information as to what is going on. So, that concerned me. I sent the email communications. I don't know how they were distributed amongst the county board. I think they were all included in their copies to the county board. But, you know, I asked them, you know, I mean, I cited the fact that they are county employees and the layoff recall rights are through Milwaukee County. So clearly there's a responsibility and obligation by Milwaukee County. I mean, this is inevitable. It doesn't have to go through a budget process. This is a done deal. So they should be receiving at-risk layoff notice. They should have been receiving them by now. And then to follow the process as outlined in the former contract and the civil service rules for these employees. Again, some the state did not hire, I understand. Some chose not to be interviewed. And some who even were hired by the state as an option would like to return to county government. And the sooner they know, you know, that process, the better. There's been no communication to them about that. There was some documents I requested from Human Resources. I didn't receive a list of vacancies by classification yet, but I did pull a report that went out in the July cycle to Finance and Audit and Health and Finance and Audit Personnel, I believe it was, in reference to the vacancy and turnover. And there are some common, you know, or some classifications that I believe Economic Support Specialists and Quality Assurance Techs, which are the titles under DHS and DCF right now, would be, you know, comparable positions in child support, in family care, in Department on Aging, and so on and so forth. There were a number of positions there. But again, there's been no communication from Milwaukee County Human Resources to the employees as to what to do. There's been a lot of discussion with Corp Counsel, but nothing to staff, and time's ticking here. So, you know, basically now a new twist is on August 30th, the state DCF, Department of Children and Families, all of a sudden pulls this rabbit out of their hat that they want to move the date up, which is in violation of the MOU we have, and that's why we're in court this afternoon, to make that October 1st. Well, exercising this layoff recall process, at least the way we envision it and the process that we believe needs to be followed, is that you have to incorporate both groups of employees because there are bumping rights. I think DCF is trying to maintain the current staff they have by making them state employees early, and then therefore they're not entitled to a county bumping process. That's our opinion. So, we leave it here with you and to say that staff are not only the benefit, I mean, I haven't talked about the benefits, at least they were touched about the disputes between the different pension systems and so on and so forth. All that, yeah, that's legally being talked about, and, you know, people need to answer those questions too. But, you know, these group of approximately 270 employees. A lot of them long-time county employees have to make decisions, some more quicker than others, as to whether they're going to retire, whether they're going to, come back to county employment, work for the state, whatever that decision may be, and they have no information to work with. So, you know, that's our concern, and you know, we'd like this to be discussed. Go ahead, Pat.
I think that, in our opinion, this is like the classic case of the stepchild. No one wants to sort of take responsibility or assume ownership of these group of employees. And I think that they feel very, very disrespected, frankly, and marginalized by this process. Obviously, we have had situations in the past in Milwaukee County where we've had wholesale programs that have either been terminated and or taken over by the state. And in all those cases, we have had a very comprehensive and intensive communication with the affected workers, and we've had a very unique process where we have met with them so that we could go through them as a group, explain to them their options and whatever else. None of that has happened to date. And I think that we have enough anxiety among county employees right now that we don't need to have these additional examples of how, after years of service, basically when the issue of conflict or adversarial relationship between the state and the county, whatever, erupts, that they become the fall people. And I guess what we're asking specifically is that we would ask that this committee direct the department to take immediate action to remediate this situation so that these employees have the option of all their options explained, that they can make intelligent decisions and they're not sitting in a catch-22. I mean, I can't imagine any private employer who wouldn't do this and more if, in fact, they had this kind of potential loss of staffing in within their organization. And we would just, again, urge you to please direct that this be undertaken immediately. These people deserve more than this from Milwaukee County.
My name's Vanessa Brown. I have 27 and a half years with Milwaukee County. I'm being forced to retire. Not only am I being forced to retire, I cannot get any information on when I should retire, if I should retire, and what happens if I do retire, meaning that we have workers that have less than a year to where they meet their rule of 75, and the state says, oh, so what? You're going to be a state worker now. How did I lose my option when I took on the job being a Milwaukee County employee, and now I'm being told, so what? Your years of service don't count. Your benefits are null and void. We went into numerous contracts over the years with not receiving any increase in pay. Now we're being told we're going to work for the state and lose $500 in income. It comes down to a $208 a month for insurance, $170 towards your pension, $75 towards the medical piece, which includes the dental. That's separate from 208. So they're not giving you an increase. So what's so wonderful about me transferring from county to the state? I mean, we have no say. No one's telling us anything. The state has hearings with us, meetings. They're going to tell us how wonderful it is to become a state worker. So when they give us this Q&A form, and we ask them the questions, they say, oh, you have to ask HR. We contact HR in county. County says, we're not aware of this. You need to contact benefits. We contact benefits. Benefits will not respond because they said that has to do with the state. So I can't get the state to give me an answer on how this is going to affect me. I can't get county, HR, or benefits to address anything because they're saying, oh, that's the state. We're being told that they're separate entities. I get it. It's DHS versus DCF. I'm still a county employee. I don't work for DHS specifically or DCF. I am county. So how do we keep pitting the workers in between who, what division they work for? We have no options here. I need to know what my options are. If you're saying October 1st I become a state worker, that's less than a week. If I take an emergency retirement, you hold my money up for 3 months. 80% of that workforce on 12th and Valit are single women. You've now lost 50% of that workforce because DHS said, you're going to interview for this position. Well, guess what? They only took maybe 50%, if that. And on the contingency that between now and December, we have no problems with you, we'll keep you. But if you step out of line, come to work late, you don't adhere to a work rule to whatever level, to whatever extent, we're going to take back that job offer. You got workers' hands tied. These are people that are constituents. They're county workers. You're affecting my livelihood right now. I can't get up in the morning and tell my children on Monday, oh, I have no job. The economy is bad out here. But no one's looking at how this is affecting county staff. They're like, oh, well, the state can do whatever they want. No, the state should not be able to do what they want with me. I'm a county employee. I would like somebody to address the issues that we have. I would like somebody to tell the workers, quit doing these back and forth emails. I need to meet with somebody. Someone needs to come to the workers and have meetings with us. Not, I don't know. Somebody got to know something. Someone's getting paid to know something. So this, I don't know, is not working any longer. The state says I don't know. County says I don't know. Well, who knows then? So why are we allowing these changes to go into effect if nobody knows? If you're not that concerned about it, then they should leave it alone. So, I mean, I'm just up in arms. I don't know Monday through Friday whether I have a job. You know.
And you work for DCF, and you
can
affect that
October
1st.
Oh, yeah. I'm out. Right. But these are workers that have 8 months to go for Rule of 75. So if they're made a state worker, do they lose their Rule of 75? So these workers that we have that have done 20 years, what happens to those 20 years? So I'm 8 months left to retire, and you say, so what? Start all over. The state doesn't have a rule of 85. The state wants us to work until we're 65. Well, I assure you I'm not working until I'm 65. But how do you get to 8 months of retirement, and you're now told, nope, you have to work down until you're 65 years old? That could be another 17, 20 years for some workers when they could have retired with the rule of 75 with Milwaukee County. Yes, we have good benefits with the county. But our benefits were good because I took a, how you put it, the pay freeze. It offset it. So I didn't get, my money is not where it should be if I was in the private sector. But you have to understand there's a flip side to that. Private sector makes more because they pay out more in benefits. You know, so, you know. I said it all.
Again, we would just ask that, you know, the board direct that the county place this properly in the priority list, that these are 270 loyal employees. And we have enough problems. I mean, yesterday I anecdotally sat at the Civil Service Commission where there was a proposal to allow for Illinois residents to work for Milwaukee County in certain positions because of the fact that we have, you know, such difficulty recruiting and retaining particular positions. And yet, despite that, you know, here we have 270 people who are basically being thrown.
Thank you for your time.
Thanks.
Thank you very much.
Mr. Cooley, come join us at the table.
Thank you, Madam Chairwoman, committee members. I just would like to correct for the record a statement that was made earlier. It is absolutely not true that Chairman Holloway lobbied or directed any lobbying efforts in favor of the state takeover of income maintenance programs. To the contrary, the only lobbying efforts that were made were initially when the proposal was made to lobby against it, and after it was clear that it was moving forward, to lobby to slow it down, to, among other things, protect the taxpayers of the community as, and the estimated large legacy costs that the taxpayers and Milwaukee County would have been left with. I think that needs to be made clear for the record, and I don't mean to extend the discussion here because, and I don't mean to get into any of the personnel issues. I think those need to be covered in a different venue, but I just wanted to make that statement to the committee for the record. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Is there any further comments or questions from committee?
No question.
Oh, Supervisor Mayo, I'm sorry.
Ms. Ryder and Ms. Richard, can you come to the table for a second? When did you find out about the state wanted to change the time frame of going from January 1st to October 1st?
The letter that is attached, I think it's attached to your, to the report.
No.
We received it at the same time. In fact, we got the letter after it had been forwarded to staff. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. There's no, we don't have a copy.
Oh, you don't have a copy of that letter?
Mm-hmm. The reason why I'm asking the question is because the time frame of what they are looking at, anytime that we have changed from other vendor to another vendor, we always have our employees had an opportunity to know what their actions and what they qualify for. I am shocked that we don't have that opportunity at the present moment. We went from Freighter, when we had County Hospital to Freighter, they had the opportunity. When we changed over a number of things there, that we had a timeline that we made sure employees know their rights. Why right now they don't know their rights? And I'm serious. That is a very serious thing. In my 17 years, every time we flipped over to any entity, they had, we let everyone know and understand what's going on. And right now, what's the problem?
Madam Chair, Supervisor Mayo, if I may. We have been meeting, we've had conferences with the state on this. When we became aware of DHS's move to have staff interview for positions with the state, we were in the process all along of trying to gather information from the county's perspective in terms of what the employees' statuses would be relative to employment, benefits, and pension. With DCF sending a communication to staff, which we were not aware of until staff actually in DCF faxed us a copy of that letter, that accelerated our need even more to get this information together. As we indicated in our report, we are in the process of consulting with Corporation Counsel. We want to make sure that we have the most appropriate factual information that's going out to staff, and we hope to do that very soon. So it's not like we have not been trying to gather this information. This is new territory for a lot of us in this area. So we want to make sure we're getting it out to staff as soon as we can and that we have the correct information that we're releasing.
I believe that you are trying to do your best, but you have a deadline by October 1st. So with soon, so people can do what they have to do for them, for their livelihood. Are they going to stay as county employees? Have you talked about Rule 75? Have you talked about bumping rights and retaining rights? Have you got all those information for them soon? Is that going to be by the end of tomorrow, by the end of the week? Can you give me a timeline so people know exactly when they should be able to come talk to your department or whoever department they need to talk to?
Supervisor Mayo, I don't have a definitive date, but I do know that it will be as soon as possible. It has to be within the next time frame of 1 week, within the next few days. We expect to have all the pieces that we need to get this information to staff.
Thank you very much.
Thank you. Any other comments, questions? Okay. Supervisor
Beto. Is anybody from the county exec staff here?
Yeah.
Where is the county executive's office with the situation? Like what? I mean, this is an administrative managerial function, and so it kind of feels like we're in a very tricky spot as a board, because we've been accused of. As my colleague would say, micromanaging county government day-to-day operations. So this is truly an administrative function. And so the fact of the matter is, I support what my colleague has said. I'm set aback that employees have been calling, trying to figure out what was going on with their future. I mean, obviously what happened at the state is ridiculous. And it's put a lot of long-time, loyal, public sector employees in a very bad position. It's put services in a bad position. It's put county government in a bad position. And, you know, I wish I had the power to reverse those things. Obviously, we don't. There's a matter of contention on how this deal even arrived to in 2009 with the governor and DC 48 and the county board. I mean, state statutes say that those actions haven't already been taken. So I don't know too much what we can do. But I would like to know, as the county executive, why hasn't this administration been responsive to the concerns of these workers who are undergoing this shortened timeline and now they're just in a state of flux where they don't know what's going on. Like, what? I don't understand.
Sure. Good morning, Chairwoman and Supervisors. Tia Torres from the County Executive's Office. We have been working with our administrative staff in close concert to make sure that all of the needs have been attained as quickly as possible. The timeline was obviously not ideal, that both from notice from the state as well as just administratively there have not been a lot of answers forthcoming from the state as we have liked to have had them. The county executive has been in touch with the Department of Health in Madison to see if we can speed this along. There is definitely some challenges there. They are not as forthcoming as we would like with a lot of the details. You know, and we have asked that department heads, Ms. Lyde, Corporation Counsel, as well as Human Resources, put this on the top of their agenda. There just, unfortunately, are some administrative barriers that make some answers slow.
I understand the bureaucracy and how slow it can move, but it just seems like they just wanted to be heard, just wanted to have someone say something. And the fact that there has been no response to these affected individuals is unacceptable. It is. I just don't understand why simple questions can't even be approached or have any type of response or no type of emergency meeting, let's sit down with the affected population and see what we can do, what can we provide, who can we steer you to. I mean, it's just like there's no support, no nothing. And
give Tia a chance to respond.
You know, I feel your frustration, and we also are very frustrated with the situation that was placed upon us. I think we can definitely, you know, work with Ms. Lede and Human Resources to make sure that the communication occurs this week. As much as we don't want to tell the employees the wrong information, and we want to make sure what we're telling them is accurate, as well as protecting the county. And there are clearly gaps in information, and we don't want to make things up. So I think we can apply additional pressure to try and achieve some answers.
And I think that, as Ms. Richard said, we were working, Human Resources, I know, was working all along on the deadline date for 1-1. The letter for 10-1 came about 2 weeks ago. We had a discussion with the state, and I think we're trying to get it's being handled differently by two different divisions. DCF is saying we have positions for everyone. So it is not like there is a loss of positions if people want to take them. People are exercising their options. DHS is doing a competitive process where some individuals they're taking and some individuals they're not taking. We are trying to find out the differences because there are differences in how individuals who have positions that are being offered in DCF, all 70 positions that are currently operating in the county are being put forth in DCF. In DHS, There are about 271 county positions. Not all of them are filled. They've been going through an interview process. Some individuals the state is saying they're going to accept, and others haven't. So I think the challenge has been, as Tia has indicated, we need to sort through the issues as it impacts DCF and DHS. And the goal is to have a fact sheet out very soon. We have compiled all of the various, there are different situations for different individuals depending on whether they're vested, whether they're not vested. And we've been working with, again, Corporation Counsel, the controller, to find this out and then get a fact sheet based upon the differences of the two divisions. Those questions have been compiled. Corporation Counsel is having an opinion on them, and then we were going to be forwarding some information, but we also need, I think the state is basically saying, these are our rules for employment. If you come here, this is what will happen. And that is their, you know, their rules, not that the county has much to say about how they implement their employment rules. I think the issues for us is, you know, what happens. There is a memorandum of understanding that has been in effect with DC 48 and the state that really talked about the state has the ability to hire, fire, supervise employees, and in cases where they have terminated employees, they've paid Milwaukee County for unemployment compensation. There are issues around unemployment compensation. There's some very complicated issues that have had to be sorted out. And I think we did not want to give information that would not be accurate or that would not be in the best interest of the county. So I believe that it has taken a bit longer. But again, you know, this is like, you know, September 20th, about 2 weeks, maybe a week and a half ago, we got a letter, and we didn't even get a copy of the letter. We got it forwarded from the state of the October accelerated deadline. So that has really, I think, speeded up things where we were working previously with DHS on a timeline that was more around January 1st of 2012. So the acceleration, I think, has what has really panicked individuals. And certainly, I think we have a responsibility, but we do need to make sure we get the right information. And we cannot give them information unless we know that, of course, Corporation Counsel and the Comptroller agree with the decisions that we're making, because there are fiscal issues that are clearly related here that will impact us if we are not sure we've got the correct information.
Ms. Young? If I can just make a very brief point. I understand that there's some very complex issues evolved around the contractual understanding between Milwaukee County and the state, between what happens with worker A or worker B, if they stay with the county, if they go with the state, and whatever else. What we are asking for is so much more basic. In July, and I believe in my letter to you that I included a copy of that, we asked the department to do what they have traditionally done, which is to, first of all, hold vacancies, because we know that we have this large group of people that are becoming potentially back into the workforce. And second of all, to identify what vacancies are there that are going to be filled that would be comparable or non-comparable, but the people would be qualified for, and to have, by seniority, those individuals affected called in and asked, do you want this job, not want this job, are you qualified or not qualified? That is what we have always done. And we asked for that back in July in writing, and you have a copy of that. What we're asking for right now in the immediate is to have the department identify what vacancies there are that are of the same classification of these individuals and or comparable classifications, and then by seniority ask that these people be called in. So at least we have done that process, and we have exhausted the opportunities for those workers who wanted to come back into Milwaukee County. That's what we're asking for this board to direct right now, this committee. Thank you.
In reference to the statement about the state offering county workers a position, that means nothing to the county staff. Because in DHS, you have workers with 20-plus years. In DCF, they only have 18 ESSs right now. Four of them only have a year, just got a year. Two of them, 2 years. So you're going to tell me the workers in DHS that have put in 20 years or more, they lose their job, they go on layoff. But the 18 workers in DCF are the ones that have less seniority. They get to keep their jobs after only a year or 2 years of service. So the reason the state moved that date up is to eliminate bumping rights. Because if my job no longer exists in December, that allowed the workers from DHS to transfer into DCF. So now DCF says, you know what? I'm going to take away your bumping rights. See, collective bargaining we lost. I didn't lose my civil service rights. That's what they're taking away from the workers. Why would we have staff that only have a year? You get to keep your job, I lose my job. That's a joke. DCF has a lot of young people right now, meaning they don't have any seniority. So that's why they're doing this. They're not giving me a job. They're not doing me a favor by saying October 1st we'll make you a state worker. You're taking away my rights. That's what you're doing. You're saying, yeah, you put in X amount of years, but so what? Okay. You got to understand, if they bring in people, allow them to bump into that division, you're going to have at least 7 to 8 workers off that floor, meaning that DCF does at least 4,000 child care cases for providers on a monthly basis. If they lose half of their workforce that goes from the second floor into the basement for training, that cuts down on their productivity. Okay, that's what they're looking at. They're not safeguarding me as a worker. They're safeguarding their productivity, them getting the job done. And I understand it. It's a business just as well. But you can't safeguard your business off of workers. You just can't. It's bad practice. It's bad business, because why would I have any faith for somebody that I'm working for? I enjoyed being a Milwaukee County worker. Okay, I started at 20. Okay, I'm still here. I could have moved along, but I like what I do. It's a factor for me. But don't put me in a position and say, well, you know what, Vanessa, I can get rid of you whenever I feel like it. Yeah, we did sign an agreement, but it means nothing. So why would I take your word? Why would I give you my all when you give me nothing back in return?
Thank you. Thanks for the procedure. I guess, back to the point, I mean, that's what we ask this board to do, because obviously, as you can see, these people could talk for a very long time, and obviously they're very... They're very frustrated, and they're very passionate about what they do and where they're going to land. But so that, as an immediate action point, Madam Chair, members of the committee, we would ask that you would direct the Department of Human Resources to do what they have traditionally done.
Thank you. Supervisor Jurczyk?
You know, I somewhat hesitate to make these comments because they're going to sound crude, and I see there's a lot of passion. I understand people are feeling that their rights have been eliminated, but there seems to be a basic underlying assumption that this board has any authority to do anything, which I really question. I mean, the state has dealt a bad hand to the workers, and I hear that. First of all, these are really personnel matters, and I think we've gone way far afield here. Mm-hmm. But there's a presumption here that somehow this board has an ability to do something, which I really question whether we have any authority to do anything other than to be a sounding board for some real frustration. I hear it. You've been put in a very bad position, and quite frankly, we had a county executive here who saw this go forward. I'm not talking about the current one. And now we have a governor who's reaping the fruits of what he cost. And I don't think this committee, quite frankly, I don't even know if the personnel committee, but at least that's the appropriate forum, has any authority to do anything at this point. And I feel sorry for Director Richards and others who are really grappling with these problems. And please don't mistake this comment, but I don't even know that your letters count for anything, because I'm not so sure District 48 even continues to represent anyone. I mean, this is a real... We're all Alice in Wonderland right now. We've fallen through the holes, and the rules are completely upside down, and we can all start looking through the looking glass, because there are no answers. So thank you, Madam Chair, and I hope we move on quickly.
Okay, thank you. Yes. And just for the record, Chairman Holloway has referred this to the Personnel Committee, so they will be taking this item up. It is more appropriate in the Personnel Committee. However, ASME did ask me to put it on the agenda so that we would have that information as well, and I thought it was pertinent. So,
Madam Chair, just to make a very brief statement, and I do appreciate the labored conversation we've allowed on this. Milwaukee District Council 48 is, in fact, the legal representative of members of the union who work for Milwaukee County. We will be in that status until the WRC either directs that we, in fact, need to be recertified and or we choose not to be certified, to make that very clear. And what we are talking about here is simply asking, whether it's this committee or the Personnel Committee, to direct that the civil service rules be implemented in accordance with, as they are written, in a timely manner, so that they have, in fact, meaning for these group of workers. Thank you for your indulgence.
And I assume what Ms. Young is stating is probably accurate, but we really need to hear from our corp counsel, and personnel needs to look into this.
We won't have further conversation on this morning because it is being referred to personnel. So we will follow it through them. And I do appreciate everybody's time this morning. I would just like to remind everyone that during committee we speak to the chair and that we do not speak until we're recognized. I know we're getting, we've got a couple items here this morning where we're getting passionate and speaking, but let's make sure we do that just to maintain ourselves. All right. Thank you very much. So that's item number 13. We're going back to